All right, we are back and we are live, people. And tonight we're talking with Jay Hill again. He was a guest last year with us, and he's been up to a lot of stuff, I guess, since last time we talked to him. Uh-oh. It looks like we lost him. But when he pops back in, there he is. I'll ask him a few questions and we'll get going.
Sorry, I actually hit the wrong button.
And it happens, man. It happens.
Yeah.
So, you've been up to a lot of stuff since we last talked to you, right?
Yeah.
I have. You started something new for yourself?
Yep.
You want to talk about it?
Yeah, I started my own podcast, Studio 6 Paranormal Podcast. Yeah, I started that shortly after our interview. I think it was in March, wasn't it? Or February, I'm not sure, but yeah, I decided that I really liked it and thought I wanted to do it, you know, and
cool.
Didn't really know how to start it, so I just kind of sat on my hands about it, you know, and then one day I saw this ad on the Buzz Radio website about somebody asking for a co-host for a new paranormal podcast. And I thought, hey, that looks pretty cool. I could probably do that, you know? So I reached out to this guy, Shane Feek, and come down to him saying, well, yeah, I'm looking for a co-host, but actually I want to be a co-host. I'm looking for a host. And I'm like, oh, so yeah. And the way he tells the story is funny too. He's like, yeah, I just kind of threw it in his lap and he ran with it. So, which is what I did. And I thought, okay, since I was, you know, creative control of a lot of the things, pretty much everything. And, you know, I just designed a friend of mine designed the logo, and then I kind of ran with it and then added my own to it and then created the page and started lining up guests. And I've had some fantastic guests on, and I can't even believe I got some of the guests that I did get, but I did, and they were fantastic. And, you know, I decided that I wanted to, well, let me start by saying that my wife was not really a big fan of this. She doesn't like the paranormal stuff. And so I think she kind of humors me, but, and also, you know, me being a psychic medium, she also humors me. But when I told her that I wanted to do that, I don't know if she took me serious, but then when I said that I kind of wanted to do it out of our bedroom, she didn't quite like that. So I was like, crap. I'm like, where the hell am I going to, you know, where am I going to do this? And it just so happens that one of her coworkers that she worked at the bank works at the Maxwell Mansion in Lake Geneva. And I talked to him, and then I'm like, yeah, I'd really like to, you know, investigate here again when we did last year and this and that. I ran into something just told me, why don't you just go talk to the owners? Because I was friends with the new owners, and I just walked up, went there one day and walked up to her and said, hey, do you think I could do a podcast here? And she was like, sure. You know, wherever you want to do it. And I thought, okay. And then she was like, well, we could set you up in the office upstairs, which is used to be an old, hotel room. Mm-hmm. And so I procured all the equipment and all the stuff that I needed. And I would set up my equipment every Sunday. And then, you know, it just started gelling that way. And my wife was very happy that I wasn't doing it at home. So, but yeah, so it started to gel that way. And then they remodeled the upstairs office, and they gave me my own spot. I was able to set up my equipment and leave it up and have my own desk. And my whole, you know, two monitors, a whole 9 yards. And all I got to do when I go do my show is just turn it on. So that was a blessing, you know, and me knowing and contacting some of the spirits that were there and some of the communication that I've done, it's been really a blessing. I'm welcomed every time I go there. I always try to communicate with the spirits that are there. A couple kids that are there. And then when I started doing the show and I had mediums on my show, they would validate everything that I had already known what was there. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of cool. And actually had some activity with some of my equipment, some of my toys that I had set in the background when I would do my live sessions. And I did a couple spirit box sessions on there live with Paranormal in the Funhouse. And, you know, that went pretty well. And so, yeah, so I've had really good success with that. So I'm actually blessed. So I just want to say thank you guys for kind of giving me that idea that, hey, I might want to do this because this was really fun. So I give you a little bit of credit for that, because if I had never gone on a video podcast, I wouldn't know. So,
well, thank you. Because I'm glad that we could have been a little bit of an inspiration.
Yeah, you were actually. So it was crazy. I mean, it was basically, you know, me doing this, me, you know, thinking about it and then putting it into action. And when it actually happened, it was kind of a surreal moment. And
well, it's funny how things start. It's really funny how things started. Mm-hmm. I mean, how Mark and I got our start, it was a pretty messed up story to begin with. And mm-hmm. and the road that it took to get us to do the paranormal, it was a kind of a strange, interesting road, but it's been fun the whole time.
Right.
We were driving for a 3-hour drive?
I think it was about a 3-hour drive up to Athens here in Wisconsin.
Mark was playing chauffeur so that I could go get a new puppy, because a month before that, my dog Nitro passed away.
Mm.
And I was sitting in the front seat, and his girlfriend and my wife were sitting in the back, and we had them laughing in stitches. I mean, they were just, you know, laughing their asses off, and we were just being ourselves.
Right.
You know, Mark and I have known each other 25 plus years.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And they like, oh, we should have brought cameras. We should have recorded this. You guys should do something and put it up on YouTube and you know, things like that. So that's how it got started. And we thought about it for a while, looked into it, and, you know, here we are. You know, what is it? Almost 4 years later.
About 4 years later, I think it is.
But we started pissing people off because we were talking politics.
Yeah, that's something I do not even discuss with anybody. Not on Facebook.
We did the taboo. We went politics and religion with it. With me, I'm very passionate about religion and politics because
we got too carried away on a few things.
I have a tendency of really just irritating a lot of people when it comes to that. So they kind of blew up on us. So we just took a break and then revamped and went a different direction. And since I have a background in the paranormal, we went that way.
2019, we decided to do that. it's been a hell of a success ever since.
Right.
Getting more and more popular as
it's been a lot of fun.
Right. And that, a lot of it has to do with just the camaraderie that you guys have together. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes it. Like, me and Shane, I've never met Shane in person, but I mean, because he lives in Michigan.
Right.
But I talk to him every once in a while. And I give him the information for the show. And, you know, he you know, prepares himself, you know, a couple days before or whatever. And I was doing the promos because I just thought that was the right thing to do. And I was doing video promos. And then I realized that the video promos that I did were awesome. I love them. But they're very labor con, you know, labor intrusive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
oh yeah,
it was starting to affect a little bit of my home life, because I would do that on Thursday and every week or every other week, and it would just be, you know, not spending family time together and this and that. So I had to kind of cut it down, and that's why I went to every other week on this season too, because I wanted to be able to, you know, kind of balance my home life as well as my, you know, podcast. And, you know, I just, there had to have been some type of balance, because I was engulfed in getting as many guests and as many shows on my, under my belt as I could. And I realized that that wasn't the way to do it, but I did it. I said, okay, you know, I need to slow down a little bit. And so now we have, you know, every other week, which Shane is my co-host. He's okay with that because of the fact that he's got family and he's got things to do, and he works a full-time job just like I do. So, you know, he's, you know, okay with it. And once in a while, like, I have a show this Sunday with Amanda Quill from Cold Spotters Paranormal. And then the next week I have a special guest, which I'm going to announce after that show. But I wasn't really planning on doing a show next week, but it's kind of happened that way and kind of ran with it. And, you know, I've got some shows in January as well. You know, I mean, it's just, so things are coming together, and
I was like,
you know, I've just got to pace myself, you know, because I can't get carried away. I get, being, especially being passionate about paranormal and this and that, it's just like, sometimes I have to check myself. You know, I can't keep go, because I also drive an hour away to work every day.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
I got a
40-minute drive. So
yeah, so you're not too far behind me, so you can understand that. You know, I drive an hour. I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Mark.
You know, so
what was that, Joe?
I said you also drive for a living and enjoy it. So
yeah, yeah. I drive an hour. I drive 40 minutes to get to work.
Hour to work.
I drive 40 minutes to get to work, and then I drive all day long.
All right. Well, and that's kind of what I did too. I used to drive straight truck, and
that's what I do.
Two back and forth to between our two buildings by Kenosha, you know. So, yeah, it's, I liked it because I was able to get out of the building. Mm-hmm. Half the time. But, you know, so yeah, so I've been doing that for 8 years. So, yeah, actually, that was right after 9 months after my stroke I had in 2013.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. I had a hole in my heart.
Ow.
And I drank a lot. Yeah, I drank a lot, and it just caught up with me. And I had a blood clot flow through my heart and went to my brain, and still sits there. It'll always be there. And so my neurons and all my blood passages had to go different directions. So, wow. Yeah, I lost part of my speech. Uh-huh. And I lost part of my movement and this and that. It took me 9 months with therapy to get back to where I was. And now you couldn't even tell if I ever had a stroke, because I worked hard to get back to where I was.
Well, that's good and very commendable to you that mm-hmm. you put in that effort.
And some people don't realize how much when you go through hell like that, and that is going through hell.
Oh yeah.
Yes, it
stuff
is.
Like that and stuff what I went through, that puts your body through hell. And just to get back to somewhat normal is a lot of fucking work.
It is a lot of work.
I mean, yeah. I lived in a hospital for 2.5 years, man, and I had nurses bitching at me to get down to the exercise room because I had to learn how to walk all over again after what I
did. Yeah. I had to do speech therapy the whole nine yards, and I hated
all that.
Oh my God, I hated it because I had an extensive vocabulary. My mother was very educated, and she used big words. And my parents were older. And, you know, my mom went to college to be a psychologist, and so us kids grew up with my mother's, you know, dialect of her language and all this other stuff. And so when I had the stroke, I lost a lot of my speech and a lot of, you know, I lost a lot of some of my memory, which probably is a good thing. Because some things I did in my past, I don't want to remember, you know?
Yeah, but then you don't. You're not going to like it if it comes back.
Right. So I had to go back. I had to accept what happened. It was what it was. It happened for a reason.
Yeah.
And just move forward, you know? And, you know, I'm living testimony that, you know, through hard work and perseverance and being true to yourself and,
having
you know, following your path, everybody's on their own path.
Yeah.
You know, so.
You gotta have that will to survive.
That's right.
So yeah, the both of you then are living testimonies to that.
Yes, because, yes, and know, I would
what
agree,
Joe had to go through.
Yeah, so, I don't know if you knew that I was diagnosed with leukemia back in '95, and
oh yeah, I think you said that last time.
Yeah. I still suffer some of the side effects, but I don't let it.
Yeah, I have glitches every once in a while. I'll be talking to somebody, and then a simple word will come out, my brain won't comprehend it. And so I have to say it like 5 or 6 times to get the right pronunciation. But once in a blue moon, you know, okay. I mean, my wife's there pretty good to correct me. But, you know, to say, nope, it's said like this. And my brain will say, the hell it is. It says it like this. And it's just, you know, but I do have hiccups every once in a while. So it's normal. I live with it.
Yeah, well, I think all of us have a hiccup every now and then.
Yeah.
Part of living, you got to adapt.
Yeah.
So Jay, since you brought that up, I'm just kind of curious, did you said that you're clairvoyant.
Mm-hmm.
Did that have anything to do with you becoming clairvoyant, or were you that way prior to it?
I was that way prior to it. It was the fact that I was running away from my gifts my whole life.
Okay.
And so with drugs and alcohol and, you know, because my father was the same way. My father, I found out later, my father was gifted, but he kind of ran from it just like I did. I didn't know what was really happening to me because I had experienced the paranormal in different ways throughout my whole life. You know, I've seen full body apparitions. I've been touched. I've been kicked. I've been punched. You know, I've been talked to. I've been, you know, the whole nine yards. I never knew what that really was. I used to see visions when I was younger. I would go to a business or go to a home. Actually, I'll tell you a quick story. I was actually staying with a girl back in my 20s. I was dating a girl in Iowa, and we were looking for a new apartment. And there was something about this house that was an upstairs apartment. When I walked in, I could just feel this influx of energy, not knowing what it was. Walked into a bedroom and saw blood on the walls everywhere, and a little girl in a nightgown covered in blood huddled in the corner of the closet. And I saw flashes of that several different times, and not realizing what that was. I thought it was my imagination or just whatever, but later I found out that that was actually true. And I had experiences in that house and or in that apartment. Didn't stay there long, but long story short, that's when I kind of knew something was going on. But I just kept drinking and I kept doing drugs. I kept, you know, I didn't want to face what I was going through. And once I did, actually, probably after my stroke, I had different things happen here and there, but I was still, recovering and all this other stuff. And then when I had my pancreas issues a couple of years later, where I dealt with pancreatitis, where I had half of my pancreas removed because it was solid rock.
Damn.
Yeah, that was something. But and after that, after I got done after that surgery 2 years ago, and then it was like that next January, which would probably have been like 19, all these things started to come back. Things started to make more sense, and I was really just... Yeah, I started trusting what I was seeing and what I was feeling, and then the doors kind of opened more, and then I had confirmation with some other mediums, and, you know, then I got with a mentor. I have Shauna Maria is my mentor from Minnesota, and I took a class, and she helped me very much, and, you know, so right now that's kind of where I'm at. I'm still at that continuing growing phase. I've helped a couple different quite a few people actually so far. And it's just, yeah, it's just after I stopped running was when my gifts finally said, are you done? You know, I mean, well, that's basically what it felt like, you know.
You finally got the message, huh?
Well,
yeah,
I can kind of understand how you were feeling in the beginning whenever, you know, being young like that and not knowing exactly what was going on, nobody
right.
there to explain it to you, nobody to help you through it. And then, of course, turning to the drugs and alcohol, that would most likely help suppress it and put you on an avenue that would be able to keep it at bay, keep your abilities at bay and away from you and like that, you know.
It was a very destructive path, let's put it that way.
Destructive to you and others around you, most likely.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah, because
I've been married 3 times. If that tells you anything.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So this is the third and last. My wife told me, she said that the only way you're getting out of this marriage is in a pine box. And I said, okay. So,
pine, copper. Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, when I was younger, I had similar, but not, I didn't turn to any of the drugs or anything like that, because my mother had those experiences as well. She was a clairvoyant,
right?
Not a real active clairvoyant, but she knew things.
Right.
She could tell could tell you things.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually had that help there. I had that mm-hmm. support.
Right.
So,
and that support system is important.
You know, it is. It's very much so.
Well, Jay was talking there about, you know, his issues and stuff with the drinking and stuff. I wonder, you know, I kind of had a theory and wonder, you know, they get all these people that get diagnosed with, what is it called? Schizophrenia. They mm-hmm. hear voices and stuff, right?
Right.
Or and, you know, and they, a lot of them do the same thing, you know, a lot of drinking or drugs.
Mm-hmm. Self-medicate it. Yeah.
Right.
Self-medicate the train and tap it down.
Because the way the paranormal world and community and everything about it has just recently started to become a little bit more socially acceptable.
Yes.
Instead of saying you're fucking nuts, what you see is not real, you're seeing things, you're stupid or whatever.
Right.
What's to say that some of those people might not have actually been?
I was just going to say that. Probably a third of those are not crazy.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. No, you know, you have a point. Yeah, but you have a good point there, because, I actually have a cousin. My mother's favorite nephew was very schizophrenic, and even though he tried to kill his father, he was on medication for a long time. You know, I'm not saying that schizophrenia and trying to downplay it or anything like that. It's just the fact that back in the day, remember when in the 50s and 40s and 50s and even before that, when those insane asylums were, sorry the pun, but, you know, the asylums were basically used for that. You know, where they didn't know mm-hmm. what was going on, or they thought it was schizophrenia.
Yeah.
You know, you know. I mean, they just didn't. And like you said, I think now it's been a little bit more socially acceptable. You know, so a lot of people are curious to why people are actually like this.
Well,
you know?
I had an uncle. The I was thinking about this because I had an uncle, and unfortunately, he was one of my favorite uncles of all time, and I spent a lot of time talking to him, you know, and mm-hmm. especially after he was diagnosed as paranoid schizophrenic, you know, and he kept saying he was hearing voices, but I was just sitting here remembering some of the conversations I had. He was talking about Chris, his son.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, which happened to, you know, he fell out of a tree and broke his neck when he was, before he even reached the age of 10 years old.
Oh, wow.
So, and then he was never able to have kids after that. But he wasn't always like this. It didn't happen until later in life when he was, something just triggered it. And all of a sudden, he just started hearing these voices. And a lot of times, he would tell me Chris was talking to him.
Huh. Some people's gifts can come late. Mine I've had my whole life, but I mean, it wasn't until late in my life that it actually started to flourish when I started accepting it and started listening. You know, a lot of people experience clairvoyance like that in a different way. And I truly believe that everybody who has gifts don't necessarily share the same exact thing in the same way.
Thank you.
I think everybody is different.
Right.
You can have similar gifts, but your experience and your concept of what it is different. There's not everybody's an individual, especially when it comes to their gift. And I truly believe that. So when I come across somebody else who's gifted and messages me and says, well, why is this happening? And why is this happening or that happening or whatever? And I try to explain it to him or them in a certain way that they understand. I said, that's part of your path. That's you, specifically for you only. Mm-hmm. So it's up to you. You can't have anybody else tell you how to feel, how to see, how to do all this other stuff. That's something that you need to do yourself. There's a support group. I mean, people can help you, but it's almost like, you know, trying to do your job and then you want to say, hey, you want to do my job for me? You know, it doesn't work that way. You've got to put in the time and got to put in
the effort. Yeah, you got to put in the effort.
That's how you learn. That's how you grow. Yeah, the whole time.
You got to accept it as a gift.
Right. Instead of a curse. Because there's
like being an alcoholic, you got to accept that you're an alcoholic before you can even get help.
Right. There's a lot of people that think that it's a curse, and it's really not. If you have the right support team around you, then yeah, it's not a curse. You know, it's something that can be nurtured. It's something that can grow. But society today, there's still, right now the world's upside down. So society today, it's accepting, but then there's probably just as many non-acceptance people for that. So yep, me being a psych medium, that's one of my fears, because I'm afraid I'm going to run into a mob of these people. And my guides tell me, no,
you're not.
Right. That's what I worry about.
Right. My spirit guide has told me several times that now that we're getting into the later, with getting into more of the 21st century and everything, mankind is actually opening up more. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've heard.
Shifting.
I know you speak with your spirit guides too, right? Okay.
Yep.
Has any of them mentioned anything to you about what is called the Great Awakening?
Not in that specific word phrase, but yes, I've heard this a couple different times that people are waking up. You know what I mean?
It's not just the people, not just the older people, the more
closed-minded.
Yeah, it's fact that the Great Awakening, what's happening now, a lot of the children that are being born are being born with this gift.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or other gifts.
And they are learning at younger ages about the paranormal and the spiritual world that we're going to be transmuting into.
Right. Well, and it goes back to, it's almost like when people were preparing for World War II, and they had to do all this stuff to get everything ready for the actual event of when we first landed on foreign soil like that, when we were starting to, to go against the evil of that. It's kind of the same thing. I mean, we are preparing ourselves as clairvoyants or as gifted people, as well as the new generation of gifted people. And, it's a big preparation. So there's going to be a lot more popping up.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why the older generation that you know, regardless of the level of your gift, you need to be able to allow yourself to assist with anything that you can possibly help with. Because once we finally get that transition going, mankind is going to be completely transformed. We are going to be a complete different species than we are now.
Right.
I think what we're seeing in this world is the dying off of the old world of you know, the transitioning to the more enlightened and open-minded and understanding of what is there for us.
Right. This transition that we're discussing right now has actually happened like three times before this.
Oh yeah.
We've transitioned from what I'm hearing, it's three other times. So this is just an enclave of another transition, which, you know, that there's a reason why you know.
Oh yeah. I mean, we are growing. We're becoming more aware of of the realm that we live in.
Right.
And
self-aware.
We're becoming more self-aware, more aware of the environment and things around us. That's why there's that big push to get us off of fossil fuels, for one, because what we're doing is basically killing ourselves in this planet.
Right.
And if we can get off of the fossil fuels and get into the renewables, I believe that things would be a little bit better at that point, too.
You were just talking about disrupting nature and things were in the cycle of nature the other day. Because we were discussing the I know this is a tough topic, but we do this once in a while. Those fucking bird cannons that I tell you about that they keep sending off out here. You know, those things don't just chase away the birds. And I don't know why people do this.
They're doing it to protect crops.
Nature's music, and it's all gone, you know. But it just chases away. It chases away everything, not just the birds. You know, there's no squirrels. There's no rabbits out here anymore.
Right.
There's nothing. It's complete silence. I don't even have birds making nests in the window anymore.
Well, in talking about the kind of the awakening too, it's also when you talk about the like Mother Nature and Mother Earth and all that. This, from what I get and what I gather, is that the Earth is actually regenerating as well. I mean, this is something that a lot of people need to pay attention. I'm not a, you know, climate change person. I'm not even in that conversation. What I talk about is somebody who respects the Earth and appreciates the Earth for what it is. You know, the planet will regenerate itself often, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's just, being here, we've probably done some damage, but you know what? The Earth is big enough that I think that, you know, when the Indians said that they were all about Mother Earth, you know, and I truly believe that. The connection between Earth, when I see, my connections are water and mountain. When I have to get recharged for my gifts, I have to go sit down by Lake Geneva and sit there and meditate because that's my energy source. Mm-hmm. And I know that, and I've been told that. Also, same with the Rocky Mountains. I go to Colorado and sit in the Rocky Mountains. Same, I get the same exact feeling as if I was sitting in front of a lake in Lake Geneva. So those are my two connections to recharge myself and to connect to a higher self, you know. A lot of people, there's a part in a movie. I don't know if you ever guys remember Thunderheart with Val Kilmer.
Yeah, vaguely. I think I've seen it once.
Okay. There was a part on that movie where the Indian elder was talking with the FBI agent, Val Kilmer, and he's watching TV and he's watching this cartoon Magoo, the black and white TV. And he starts speaking in Lakota, and he said something, and Graham Greene was also in that movie. He says, Magoo needs to go to the top of the mountain and get focused, you know, because he thinks he's crazy. And that's what a lot of the people today don't take the time to walk outside, look at everything and at the beauty of the nature of everything and appreciate everything, because of the fact that they're so, everybody is so in their mundane groove that they, you know, go to work, they come home, they eat, they go to work, they come home. You know, it's just,
yep.
There's people there. People need to wake up a little bit more to the Mother Nature side of it. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
I mean, connect with the trees, connect with the water, connect with whatever, you know, I mean, it's just, but I think a lot of the younger generation are starting to focus more on that. When you talk about the younger generation waking up, I think a lot of it has to do with them saying, you know, they appreciate Mother Nature, you know? So I think that's another role that the younger generation is going to try to bring back more, as in some of us old folk that, you know, think, you know, gosh, we're in our mundane jobs and we got to do this, that, you know, sometimes you just got to stop and smell the roses.
Yep. So, well, part of what's caused a lot of the problems for the planet is the era of industrialization.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
What needs to happen, and what I believe is going to start happening, is you're going to have, instead of the big, what they call factory farms,
mm-hmm.
I think we're going to go back to the local farm that takes care of the community.
I think that's a great idea. I think it should.
Yeah. You know? Because that's how it was. That before the industrialization of this planet,
mm-hmm.
That's how it was. Local farms would take care of everything.
When I was a kid, all right, back behind Westtown Mall in Madison, mm-hmm. on Mineral Point Road.
Yep.
If you went maybe just past the Beltline, everything past the Beltline on Mineral Point Road going out towards Middleton was nothing but farms.
Yeah.
Back when I was a kid. You know, there was hardly anything there. Now it's all gone. All those farms are gone. You know, back out where, what is that, in Middleton, that whole thing in Middleton, that where all those car dealerships are all in one area? Those were all farms.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. It's right there, those just before 12, that's out of town.
Dairy farms, actually. They're, mm-hmm. Those were mostly cow farms back there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sad that the industrial and, you know, used to be strip malls and, you know, whatever used to come out.
This one stays empty over here. Makes a lot of sense. Nah.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, you got to understand too that, you know, in today's day and age, it's kind of always been that way. But it's all about money. It's all about people, you know, I mean, money is the bottom line that people are trying to make more money to do this, do that. And when it comes to developers and everything like that, yeah, they want to be able to put food on their table too. But, you know, part of it is, you know, buying out the farms or doing whatever to put down business to this thing. So it's kind of like the old thing that's, you know, the old hash thing that's been happening for years. But, and it's sad that it does happen that way. And I love history and I love old farms. I love old buildings and this and that. So when I see something being torn down, it feels like a piece of me is missing.
Yep. Well, and there's where it all comes back into the circle.
Yeah.
They tore down the old rail vac. That place was built in like 1848, shortly after.
Yeah.
You know, in Madison.
Right. And that's where it all.
And that place had a lot of history. But what did they tear it down? They tear it down. What is up there? Like some kind of high-rise apartment complex now or something? Or office buildings?
Yeah.
You know, they needed more of those. Like they needed a hole in the head.
Right.
You know, they could have left that rail vac plant stay empty there and maybe have somebody. Well, obviously, when they tore it down, there wasn't a lot of us around back then. Or, you know, the paranormal thing wasn't. But that would have been a great place.
Yeah, we had a place in Lake Geneva. We had a place in Lake Geneva that the old train station in Lake Geneva.
Well, I worked in the rail vac plant, so I know its history real well and know its little hauntings that occurred there.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. We had that train station that was torn down in the early 80s. nobody appreciated what it was. And there was one hotel that was right next to Lake Geneva Regional News, which is a newspaper, but that building was there specifically for after it was in the late 1800s, but I mean it was even earlier than that. And they tore it down and built offices, and it was like,
mm-hmm.
You know, I granted, you got to understand too, some of those old buildings had a lot of asbestos in them. I get it. You know what I mean? But there could have been a way to handle that. And I know why it would have been expensive, but if you really want to preserve history in any sense, then yeah, you're going to need to find a way to do it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A lot of cool old buildings in Wisconsin all over. But I mean, I've pretty much lived and grew up here and I've seen a lot, you know, and there was one, we ran across a really cool story once. There's a local bar here in Watertown. They were going to tear down the building. But this couple came in and bought it for like $1.
Right.
And since then they've invested over $1 million. They've kept Holy it. Cow. They've kept the bar. It's an Irish bar. It's an Irish bar.
It's an Irish bar.
It's got some activity. One of the floors had what was that? That one floor.
Well, okay, it's a three floor building. The lower floor is the bar. The second floor they're actually renovating to turn it into a dining hall.
Yeah,
but and the third floor had a ballroom in it.
Yeah, but the second floor was like one of those groups.
The Shriners was in there at one time.
One of those secret society groups.
Because the Shriners. Yeah. Joe, it was the Shriners.
Oh, okay.
They were in there at one time.
But anyway, we got to go in there and investigate on those two floors. They had, you know, it was under construction. They were trying to remodel. I'm sure it's going to take them time to remodel the whole.
Oh, yeah.
What did you find?
Well, I'm going to get to that. The bar still looks authentic. They kept a lot of the decor and everything. They just kind of probably rebuffed it or had it restored.
Right.
The decoration on that first floor. Because this building's like old, like 1700s, 1800s old.
Oh, wow. It was early 1800s, I believe, is when it was built.
Well, when they were telling us the story, the guy had some pictures, a file of pictures, not to mention all the pictures that he had on the wall. But there was a really old picture, and Mark zoomed in on it even better. Didn't you like use your cell phone?
Well, what I did is I used my phone and I took a picture of the picture.
Right.
And since I have a pretty decent camera on my phone, like a 13 megapixel, when I took the picture, I was noticing something. And when I used my phone and blew up the picture, there was an anomaly in the picture itself. Because what it is it's a copy of the original picture that was taken in the 1800s. And you can see the curb line somewhat.
Like gravel.
But there's two dogs actually in the picture. And one of the dogs is completely see-through. You can absolutely see right through it. You can see the ground through it, everything behind it. The other dog is half see-through. It's kind of weird. Because you can see the curb line going through the dog, the backside of the dog. I don't know what would have caused that picture to be like that at that point, or you know when it was taken, but that's kind of how that was. Then they also have other photographs that were taken in the bar and the upper areas where there was apparitions caught, and I got to see those. But when we went up and was doing an investigation, Joe's wife Tanya and I went to the upper floor where the ballroom was. He was on the second floor, still filming with his camera. And he didn't really catch any video evidence, but you can hear
audio
through the audio on the camera. You could hear what literally sounded like Morse code.
Oh, wow.
And that was when I heard that audio, that was the very first thing that I thought of. Was
nobody was in that building in those top two floors except the three of us.
Yep. We were the only ones in the upper two floors.
They were above me on the second, you know, the third floor, and I was on that second floor by myself.
And the owner,
not the furnace or anything kicking in and making noise, because it was like it was knocking on wood.
Yeah, it was really weird. And then the owners were in the bar area down below. Yeah,
the bar was open. And they were getting ready to open.
Getting ready to open everything, so they were down there doing what they needed to do.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it was fairly interesting.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I mean, you guys should have my co-host Shane Peek on your show. He's got some great stories concerning when you talk about Morse code. Mm-hmm. He went to a ship on Lake Michigan. I can't remember the name of it, but it's like a museum now or something like that. And they did an investigation, and with the device that he created, he actually tapped into an old announcement on the ship that he caught a preacher giving a sermon over the intercom because there was there was a lightning storm on the lake that was moving that mm-hmm. way, and he caught it crystal as clear as day. I mean, it was just I love that story. He sent me the information. He sent me the link, but it was so big my phone couldn't open it, but. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's got some pretty cool, he's a science guy, and I tell you what, he knows his stuff. He's all about numbers. Mm-hmm. And
he's a number cruncher.
Oh, I call it the device that he created, and it's all about numbers, but it's got pretty much every paranormal piece of equipment in one board. And it's it's phenomenal. Trust me. There's a show that we actually dedicated just to the board, and a lot of people are probably like, yeah, this is kind of, you know, different because it's not talking really about paranormal, talking about numbers. But if you ever want to know about the numbers and that aspect and why he does what he does, it's a good read. If you can, you know, try to understand a little bit what he's saying. I mean, it's mm-hmm. but he's got some good stories. The ship on Lake Michigan, that's one of my favorite stories. I love that story that he tells because it just gives me the willies.
Kate said maybe it's the Queen Mary.
No, this was on Lake Michigan. This because he's from Michigan, so it was right on the on the lake. I don't remember exactly where, but I would love the Queen Mary. Oh my god, that's on my bucket list. I mean, yeah. Just to
you know how you were just talking about numbers and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Everything in the universe, everything, all boils down to mathematics.
Yep, it does.
So it would be logical to believe that the paranormal can also boil down to mathematics.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, yeah. And Shane can explain that pretty well. You know, so I'm telling you, I talked to Shane and. I give him credit. He's so smart, and sometimes it kind of makes me feel kind of dumb because he's just that one of those guys that, you know, I can learn so much from him, but it's just like, God, you know, stuff I didn't even know.
Well,
and
I think you should be able to learn every day from somebody at least.
Oh, I agree. That's why I love having him as a co-host. I learn something all the time from him.
I mean, we know a guy, I consider him our mentor, that he's been probably the person that's been our guest more times than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's been doing
two investigations with him now, actually three, but the two were in one day.
Yeah.
And we consider him more of a mentor because every time we're with him or talking to this gentleman, we have learned something new. I mean, the guy is just so knowledgeable.
And that's a beautiful thing.
He's been doing this since the 70s with the paranormal. So.
Yeah. I struggle with third grade math too. I'm yeah, right with you.
Unfortunately, when I was in fifth grade, they had me tutoring juniors and seniors in high school for their entry exam mathematics for college, because when I was in fifth grade, I was in second year geometry and first year trigonometry for college.
No. I wanted to be a parapsychologist, but I was set up to do that after high school, but I couldn't get past physics.
Nah, physics isn't that hard.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, no, this isn't going to work.
But no, I was going to say earlier too, when we were talking about Mother Earth and everything, I believe that this planet, this Earth and everything else in the universe has a type of a spirit.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Oh yeah.
That has an awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Because
you said it, an awareness.
An awareness. And that everything in this universe is connected within that awareness.
Yeah. I think it is. Like, everything is self-aware.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I've always felt things were like that. You know, trees, whatever. You know, I mean, it's,
oh yeah.
No,
and that's not just what I feel, it's just what I see. You know, I mean, I can look at a tree and be like, that's life, that's, you know, it's a weird energy vibe that I get, but I've always been that way. And it took me too long to figure half of this stuff out. But I look at it this way. It happened that way at that time and this time for a reason.
Yeah.
So, you know, I can't go back and say, you know, oh, why didn't I learn it then? Or why did, you know.
You weren't ready then.
You know, I wasn't. I was not ready. Yep.
The thing is, coincidence. I don't really believe in coincidence.
No, there's no coincidence. Such thing as coincidences.
Coincidence takes a hell of a lot of planning.
Yeah. There is no such thing as coincidence. I caught myself the other day saying, "Oh, that's like a coincidence," and I'm like, "Oh, I just shouldn't have said that," because it was just so normal to say that's like a coincidence. And then the little voice in my head said, remember, there are no such thing as coincidences. I'm like, oh, yeah. No,
you have that little voice in your head.
Yeah. I kind of felt kind of dumb.
Everything happens. Everything does happen for a reason. I do believe that there are guiding forces in our universe, in our world, in our lives.
Right. But we all have free will, free choice.
We do.
So
all that choice, we all have.
It goes back to numbers. Mm-hmm. We can make infinite choices on just one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that. I mean, so whatever you choose is the path that you're going down. Can't go back and change it. Can't, you know, you can deviate yourself a couple different times, but you're ultimately going to choose something.
Yeah.
We're always choosing. You know, so, and universe is kind to that fact that I know that universe is kind of that fact that when we make different choices or that we struggle with choices or whatever, it's always has been up to us to make that choice.
You gotta deal with the consequences of that choice.
Exactly. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, and a lot of people are afraid to make those choices because they don't want to deal with the consequences. Well,
they don't want to take the risk.
Right. No, they don't want to take the risk.
That's why the smarter people are out here going and trying to figure out the risk assessments before they make their decisions. And it's like, you know, sometimes you just gotta just
get done. Now it's
do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There are times. Seriously, whenever things come about, you just need to do it. Not think so hard on it, because once you do, the opportunity might actually pass you by.
You need to
trust. And I, you know what? Saying that, I just needed to hear that, because I've been struggling with something a little bit as of late, and that's like, you're like the third person that said that in the last 2 weeks that I've heard almost the exact same statement. So yes, and I've heard it from my guides, and I've heard it from two other people.
It's a coincidence, Jay.
Yeah, bullshit. Yeah. So, yeah. So, you know, it's just, and it's kind of funny because I said something to another medium today. I was talking to her on text, and I said, something's going to give tonight. I don't know exactly what it is, but something's going to give and it's going to click. And then, bingo, this clicked. And then I knew, and I'm like, oh. So I kind of like the validation of certain things, but you can validate it till the cows come home. And if you don't believe it, you're not going to make it happen.
Exactly.
If you don't have enough faith in yourself to make things happen, to manifest these things to happen, mm-hmm. it's not going to happen. So like you said, you got to just do it.
Yeah. You know what I mean? There are times where things will come about that.
Yep.
If you psychoanalyze it until
until
your face turns blue from it.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, you're going to wind up losing that opportunity at some point.
That opportunity, right.
Where there are some things that just, you know, when they feel right, quit psychoanalyzing them. Quit trying to analyze it.
It doesn't
just
help.
Just do it. Just go. Just run with it.
Well, see, it's that fear of taking the risk is what makes you analyze everything.
It does.
Exactly.
Well, it also comes with the fear of failure, too. You know what I mean?
Exactly. That fear is what's holding people back mm-hmm. in some cases.
Right.
You know, it's the fear of failure, the fear of looking bad.
Yep.
You know, and then the fear that goes with, okay, what if it doesn't work? Then, you know, you got all the other things that's added with the failure that, you know, you stand to possibly lose or whatever.
Right. You know? Right.
You sit there and think about it too much, and
you know, it's going to consume you.
Yeah. Well, it's like people that sit there and dwell on their past and think of what ifs. What if I did this? What if
I'm guilty?
You know,
so am
I'm guilty of it too. Yeah. I did it for the longest time. I don't do it no more. Okay.
Yeah, I don't do it as much as I used to.
Okay. But the thing is, that'll consume you to a point where, it'll put you in a standstill position. It just puts you in pause because you sit there and dwell in the past. You get into depression state or something possibly, and you're not accomplishing anything anymore.
Right. Oh yeah, you're on a standstill. Yeah.
Right.
You are. You know, I watched a movie. This is where my guides and I get these little glimpses of what I need to do and this and that. Mm-hmm. I was like, Everybody, you've probably seen that movie, The Legend of Bagger Vance.
Oh yeah,
okay,
that's a pretty cool one.
I hadn't seen it in a while, and I was like kind of feeling down, and I kind of want to watch it. But the one thing I got from that movie that I've seen probably several different times was, you have to just get out of your way. You know, when you stand in your own way of doing mm-hmm. things, you just need to get the hell out of the way. And do it.
Yep.
Because you're your own worst critic.
You're your own worst.
You're standing in front of yourself and you're blocking the way. Just get out of the way.
Yep.
And just go.
And unfortunately, there are going to be times in everybody's life where they have to make that attempt and fail.
Mm-hmm. And
because
fail.
That's the only way you're going to learn how to do it right the next time.
I mean, it's true. Yeah. I mean,
you know, you have to have a certain amount of failures in life.
You know, mm-hmm. if I didn't take that chance back in the day, okay, I did learn a lot from it. You know, the first mm-hmm. thing was, you know, I jumped in a little too quick without doing a little too much research. I should have done a little bit more research than I did. But I started my own business. I did it. And I was succeeding. I was doing mm-hmm. good. I had a video rental store, video rental store and arcade back in the day when it was booming.
Okay? Right.
It was a little mom and pop store in a prime location.
Right.
You know, I had it all set up. 3 months later, Blockbuster Video moves in down the block, about three blocks away. Can't compete with a multi-billion-dollar chain. Back then, not when everything on VHS, dealer cost for a movie averaged $65 for one copy.
Right.
That same movie cost Blockbuster about $20.
Right.
know.
Yeah, yeah, and that's because of the volume they could buy.
Yeah, they bought in bulk.
Yeah.
Right.
The more you bought, the cheaper things got when it came to those movies.
So let me ask you that. Let me ask you, what made you ultimately decide to take that plunge to do that?
I got tired of working for other people.
Okay.
I started out, what happened was I started out working in video stores. Okay. I worked in a very popular small chain in Madison. It was just a local thing. I started out as a peon, worked my way up to an assistant manager. Then they were opening up more stores. I got passed over for my own store, so I didn't get to become manager.
Right.
Because they hired some girls from the outside, and oh wow, no experience, nothing running the video stores. We're gonna make them managers right away.
Right, that's usually how it works with a lot of businesses.
So I went to this other video store that was opening up, brand new video store. They had a help wanted sign on the door. Went in there, and I became manager of that store for about a year, and then he got on my nerves. You know, the guy from the place. Well, he didn't want to spend the money that needed to be spent to make some money, you know, when it came to ordering movies and stuff. He wasn't listening to my recommendations. I was supposed to have full control of the store because he just wanted to do repair. So I quit. And about 4 or 5 years later, the opportunity came around. That same owner wanted just to sell off the whole video store aspect of it. Both turnkey operation, right? And damn, I bought it, you know. And then I opened up a store in a new location because that was the condition. I had to move it, and I moved it. And then I didn't know anything about Blockbuster.
Right.
I lost everything because once they came in, there was no way a small pop store. I wasn't even open a year when they showed up.
Well, now look at where they're at.
Yeah, they're gone.
Yeah.
One Blockbuster left, though.
Well, you know, the most video stores are gone because of the fact that you get the streaming services now, and you got
right.
You know, digital. You can just go on digital rentals and do it that way.
Yeah, it's crazy how things change. I'm all about change.
Yeah,
I have a very short attention span.
Me too.
And that's just the way I've always been. And my wife is terrified. You know, I'm like, you don't have to worry about that. That's, you know, we're good with on that side, you know. But yeah, attention span, especially with anything, you know, come with work or come with,
I just get,
you know, even the paranormal, you know, even if I'm on a paranormal investigation, you know, I have terrible patient issues, you know. I mean, seriously. I mean, it's kind of like, yeah, this is boring, or this, you know, I just have to, like I said before, get out of my way and just, you know, go ahead and do it. You know what
get
I mean?
Get out of your own way.
Yeah. I'm it's just, it's really amazing. Like, I mean, I've heard this now for the last 2 weeks. If somebody could say, just get the fuck out of the way, you know? It's just, but yeah, so
just
so gotta do it. You know,
I gotta do what you gotta do. That's the whole thing.
Yeah. No, and Joe, thanks for sharing that story too, because that you know, I just wanted to know how you know, kind of did that and kind of how did, you know, how you dealt with that, you know, because eventually, yeah, I want to be my own boss on a lot of different things, you know what I mean? So,
I was raised. You know, my father was kind of an alcoholic. Well, not kind of. He was. He was instant asshole at alcohol. But the one things that I did learn from him and I got was these good old-fashioned morals growing up.
Right.
A good work ethic. But my dad owned his own business several times, okay, in his lifetime. He was always trying to be his own boss. And once I got a taste of it once when I was young, I didn't want to give that feeling up.
Right.
You know, I ended up working hard enough that if I went to a place, See, I tried to become a cop at a young age. I went to MATC right out of high school, and I was taking police science. I got into a car accident. It almost killed me, and I ended up having the choice to make, trying to catch up or start over or become a desk jockey. And I didn't want to become a desk jockey or a pencil pusher, you know?
Right.
So I went into the security and private investigative field, and every time I got a job, I ended up in some kind of supervisor position. So I was on-site supervisor of RailVac for the longest time, and when I ended up quitting, Pinkerton lost the account.
Oh, wow.
Because they couldn't get nothing but morons in there after that.
Is Pinkerton still around?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I would believe so because they are the oldest law enforcement.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a plaque still up in my wall from 1991, right, from when I was got officer of the month because I did some outstanding things above and beyond the call of duty.
Right.
You know, I was part of 25. They just had the 25th anniversary last year, I think it was, that I saw it on Facebook, or was it this year, of the Central Storage Warehouse fire that happened in Madison. It was a big, huge news event. It was a warehouse that sits on Cottage Grove Road. It burned down because of something faulty with the forklifts. Caused the fire, but it caused a river of butter, government butter, government cheese, and hot dogs to flow down into the, you know how off ramps have that kind of like area where there's like a kind of like where you can build a lake if it ran.
Right,
the runoff ponds.
Yeah. The runoff ponds, yeah.
Well, this created a river right down into that, and it stunk in that area for like 5+ years.
Wow. After the fact.
You know, I had to burn my uniform. I couldn't shampoo the stench out of my car.
Oh, wow.
You know, but I worked that fire on top of my supervisor duties at RailVac and helping out at the guard shacks at Menards at the time.
Wow.
And because I did that, I was nominated Officer of the Month because I went. Huh? I worked 72 hours without sleep.
Yeah. Wow. That's
so crazy. But all of that private investigator and security duties makes me, you know, a good fit for this paranormal thing because I'm aware of my surroundings constantly.
Right, right.
You know,
right. So it was no coincidence that you kind of got into this.
And I kind of got like the investigative background and all of this, you know, and the psychology background because I took psychology courses and stuff when I was required as police science.
I think I actually found it written down somewhere, like chiseled into the stone from his time and everything that he was supposed to do that.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Told you I'm a vampire. I'm gonna
live. I always got to give him crap.
Oh, you have to.
Yeah.
That's
well. Anyway, Jay. Looks like we're going over a little bit. So, is there anything?
Yeah, it was fun.
Is there anything you want to add? Let us know what's coming up or anything like that.
Like I said, well, this Sunday I've got Amanda Quill from Cold Spotters Paranormal. It's going to be a good show at 6 o'clock Sunday night, Central Time.
That's
next
your big
week.
Announcement, isn't it?
My big announcement is going to be for next week,
right?
Yeah, that's what I'm telling it after the show.
He's going to tell his big announcement after his podcast. So just stop trying to pull it out of him.
after my podcast, yes. And then, so then I have that. And I possibly do have an investigation with my friend and camera guy, Josh Hughes. In Beaver Dam on the 4th or 3rd or 4th, it's an old funeral home.
Cool.
that was just recently sold. And so this lady contacted me and asked me if I would come out there and investigate. So, yeah, so it'll be nice to get out back on the field to do that. I'm looking forward to that. And then just getting ready for the holidays. You know, I mean, oh, Christmas God, yes. is coming up. And, you know,
yeah, that's too much.
Pretty much, yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm not ready for Christmas by any means. I'm not even ready for Thanksgiving except for the time off. But
I really don't celebrate Christmas anymore because I feel it's too commercialized.
To Thanksgiving, he's cooking for me.
Yeah,
Mark's gonna cook a good turkey and some Nashor taters and all that good stuff that you have on Thanksgiving stuff. And yeah, he's done it the last few years. Well, awesome. I've been over there since my mom passed away. Actually.
Well, oh, okay. I know that he likes my cooking, so pretty much everybody likes my cooking.
That's a good thing. That's
He's
a very
not
good
too
thing.
Much of a bad cook. I give him a little credit. I'll give him E for effort.
Whatever.
Hey, we do got to come his. We do got to go his way. We got to check out that mansion or that
place. Yeah, Maxwell Mansion. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they've got two bars. They got a speakeasy in the basement, and they've got apothecary on the first floor.
That's right up my alley. I love history of the mafia, man.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean that the way they modeled it as a speakeasy was pretty cool. I know the person that did that too, and yeah, the history of that place is the oldest building in Lake Geneva, 1856. So,
oh, sweet.
Yeah, I lifted
up a little bit when I saw that he does his podcast from there.
Yeah, It was, let me tell you, it's like I said, it's been a blessing. It's been fun. It's been, the people there are great. So
it's fun doing the podcast too. You get to meet a lot of interesting people.
I do. I mean, it's been crazy cool because I get to meet so many awesome people. And
do you use StreamYard?
Yes. I only use StreamYard.
So, yeah, because then you get to have all these guests from all over the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. I love StreamYard.
Yeah, yeah, I did one from
it was a blessing in disguise.
London. I did an afternoon show in the summer. Mark Kenny from West London Paranormal. And when he was in London. So yeah, that was cool, you know.
Yep.
And
we had a couple of guests out of UK, some out of Canada.
Yeah.
Yep.
True North Paranormal out of Canada.
Yeah, those guys are cool. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I love being able to, you know, I mean, to be able to do that and talk to these other people. We've talked to Dr. Christy Sumner out of Florida. We got to talk about the Ma Barker House.
Oh, nice.
Miranda Young and all the stories she told. I can't remember the name of that jail where she spent the night in the solitary confinement.
So. St. Augustine? Is that where it is?
I think it would have been up and around Tennessee.
Oh, okay.
It's a bigger prison up in that area.
Pretty popular.
Yeah.
I've heard of it before.
Thanks, Joe. Now I'm...
Yeah, you're drawing.
Yeah, right?
You know...
Yeah, So that's all I pretty much have going on in the next couple months. I hope to have a speaking event
in
San Antonio, Texas next March.
At a
convention. So yeah, I got some things in the work. 2022 is going to be a big year for me. So
yeah, I think it's going to be a big year for us too.
Yeah, because I know that the Milwaukee Paracon, whenever that's going
Milwaukee
on.
Paranormal Conference, we're supposed to go live from that show.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
We're supposed to be broadcasting live from there.
Pete Trulos asked us to start doing our show live every year.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
So
that's awesome.
And Mike Huberty from American Ghost Walks and Sunspot is also the sponsor of that, so they agreed to all of that, so that's cool. And we're thinking about having a table there this next year in 2022.
Awesome.
This year.
Real quick, when you guys do like you do an investigation, one of my theories is I want to be able to do my show being in a spirited location like the mansion. I would also like to do an investigation or do a show with somebody who's at a haunted location. So if you guys are ever able to do that, let me know.
Yeah, we're kind of looking into
from our locations, but we are working on that.
Yeah, we're working on figuring out how we can actually broadcast live.
We wanted to really go live when we were out there at Farrar School in Iowa.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In Maxwell,
yeah. Oh yeah.
We're out that there place was Dale crazy.
Yeah.
We're out there with Dale Kaczmarek and his crew, and we got some unbelievable activity out there.
Shane Feek, my co-host, was out there and got some amazing stuff. So
yeah. And I had 5 pieces of equipment subsequently fail on me.
Yeah, I think that was funny.
And it's my fault. It is my fault. It is my fault because
I learned a valuable lesson that weekend.
In the boiler room area, there was something in there, and I went in there and I actually provoked it.
Yeah, like an idiot.
See, naughty.
I'm not an idiot. I do it. I did it because I knew it would razz it up and we get activity.
But see, I learned a valuable lesson when we plan trips like this, not to listen to that fuck anymore.
What do you mean not to listen to me?
We'll play it by ear, you know, when it comes to getting a hotel.
Oh, okay. I did not say that.
Did not find a hotel for a hundred.
No, Joe. I did not say that.
They were all booked.
I knew that we should have booked
competitions long.
So don't even start trying to blame me.
See, I could tell why you guys are friends. I mean, you guys got this great communication thing going on. So,
well, the first day before Mark even met me, okay, he got blamed for a practical joke that I pulled on my own brother. Okay, we worked at him and my brother were Mark and my brother were already working at Union Cab in Madison. They were
and we were friends.
And they were friends, and they were transit drivers, okay? I had just gotten off of being on the leukemia treatments and bullshit, and I tried to go back to work as security, and I couldn't do it. So I decided to do something I swore I was never going to do because I didn't want to follow in my father's footsteps and drive for a living. But I went in, and I applied for a job, and I started as a cab driver. So I put one of these joke-like parking tickets, and the bottom line basically what it says, that if you park like you fuck, it's a wonder you can get it in. And I put it on my brother, and I put it on my brother's car, okay? And I had a new car, not a brand new one, but new to me, okay? So he didn't recognize my car or see it in the parking lot. So he didn't know I had started work, and he had forgot. So he was going around the whole company blaming everybody else. And then when he got to Mark, Mark must have laughed or giggled or something because he saw the ticket. And Dwayne just kept blaming him and swore up and down that Mark did it until I walked in and he saw me in the driver's room.
Huh.
Then he knew that it was me that did it to him. You know, so before I even met Mark, I got him in trouble.
Nice. Nice going. All right, guys.
All right.
Yeah, thank you for coming on.
Thank you. On,
this was a lot of fun. Yeah. So whenever you guys
come back anytime.
Anytime. Anytime you guys want to just chit chat or whatever, hit me up. I'll be here.
We'll have to get down your way and get together and meet you in person one of these days soon.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
Maybe see about doing an investigation down there too.
Yeah, most definitely. Sounds like a plan.
So
thanks everybody.
And just for everybody else, next week we have Janet Ramsey and crew on Tuesday. So that'll be a good show to look forward to as well. So we'll be back Tuesday with Janet Ramsey and crew. And I don't think there's anything else. You got anything else to add, Mark?
No.
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 All right.
All right.
Stay safe, everybody.
Thanks for watching, everyone. Have a safe night.
Stay safe, and remember, anything's possible.